Hello and welcome along to Clare FM's Sideline View. It's Derry Clinch with you for one of the biggest weekends of the sporting year. And over the next hour or so, the Munster Championship is our focus as we look ahead to Clare's football semi-final against Waterford and the Banner's huge hurling opener in Cusick Park against Limerick. We'll get straight into it and start with the football as Mark Fitzgerald takes his side to Waterford for a shot at the Munster final. Teams named earlier this morning and shows three changes from the last round of the league. Killian Brennan, Dara Bohannon and Mark McInerney all coming into the starting 15. Earlier this week, I spoke with Clare boss Mark Fitzgerald to see how things have been since that league campaign come to an end.
They've been good, really, Derek. Look, we just, we probably drew a line under it, really, and moved on. You know, overall, I suppose you'd have to be happy with the league campaign to date. But, you know, we probably weren't overly happy with our performance, but... you know, we took a bit of time to look at it and address a few things and just move on. Now it's a whole different ball game at this stage, you know.
Yeah, I suppose that might have been your raison d'être for the league this year, was it? Like to see what way they could perform, move the chess pieces around a little bit and come up with the best lineup for this particular game, this Munster semi final.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you know, obviously we were forced into a couple of those moves with one or two long-term injuries for lads who would have started last year. So, you know, that I suppose that afforded us the opportunity to give lads minutes. And, you know, I think I said it all year, look, this is the only way to get lads experience is to get them to play, you know.
How are those long-term injuries looking? Are we considering a couple maybe for the squad on Saturday?
Yeah, look, I think we're probably as strong as we can be. Micheál Gary, look, is carrying a niggle, and we're unsure. But other than that, Derek, we're probably as strong as we've been all year, really, I think, you know.
Yeah, Killian Brennan likely to feature?
Yeah, Killian has got through the last couple of weeks of training now, as has Dara Bohannon, you know. And Killian Ruin obviously had that game against Down under his belt as well, which is standing to him, you know. So... And obviously, Brendy is back training. It's probably a little bit early for Brendy, but you know, it's just great to have these lads back around on the pitch as well, you know.
Yeah, I suppose particularly from a physical sense, because going down now to Dungarvan, you know the kind of battle you're going to get there.
Oh, sure. Look, absolutely. I was down. I travelled down to watch it. After a shaky first half... you know what, we're good value for their win. And look, suddenly, you know, a result like that, fellas are 10 foot taller and they're running quicker and they're tackling more and they have a bit more belief. So, you know, it won't be an easy game. But I suppose, look, the fact that we're travelling down there will probably get our backs up very quickly, you know, because we'll have to play well to get out there, you know.
Yeah, and like it has been a tough place to go for Clare teams at all levels in the last couple of years. Like, but you touched on it there, that positivity now, that feel-good factor, like we saw some of the interviews with players and stuff like that after the game, they feel like they're rebels with a cause as well, so you're going into a right cauldron here.
You are looking, again, you know, the underdog tag probably suited us all year in that, you know, your back's to the wall and you're scrapping and you're fighting. It's a different mentality now, where you're going in as probably raging hot favourites, and that's no disrespect to Waterford, but that's probably the way people would see it, you know. And on every given day, Clare will be expected to win. But I suppose, look, we just have to make sure that we do everything we want to do to the best of our ability and outwork Waterford, and hopefully that'll see us through, you know.
Is that a big thing to try and manage, where, you know, you might tend to lean on the underdog thing to kind of give that extra bit of motivation at times, but then you're almost trying to cast off the favourites tag? Like, it can be a difficult one to manage.
It can, and especially difficult to it with a group that is relatively new and a bit inexperienced, you know, in dealing with that tag, you know, that carries its own problems. But look, I think we probably had, you know, a good 2 weeks by the time we get to the game to have a look at Waterford and have a look at ourselves and maybe work on a couple of things. But, you know, look, I think overall, Derek, the lads are in good spirits. You know, things have been going well. You know, we've got a lot of strong performances from lads over the course of the league, and probably a couple of lads that can offer a little bit more as well, you know, and probably were disappointed with their overall showing in the league, and obviously getting lads back from injury is a huge boost as well. So overall, look, I think we're going down there in a good place, but you know, that comes with a warning sign, you know.
But all things being said, though, like, okay, it was a brilliant win for Waterford over Tip, but ultimately this was two Division 4 teams. You know, from a Clare point of view, the games we've played, those seven games, they were played at a faster, higher pace. Like, you'd hope that that would transfer into Championship.
Absolutely. Look, you know, I mean, you know, when you look back, the Sligo game, you know, the start was fairly frantic. The Offaly game, obviously, you know, is well there to be seen. But I think, you know, the Westmeath game was a really, really tough game. And look, you know, while we were disappointed with Down for 40 minutes of that game, we were probably thereabouts, whilst not playing great. But the pace of that, you're right, was fairly frantic and probably taught us a lot about ourselves. So, yeah, look, you'd be hoping that those things would stand to us. And as I keep saying, we've probably been through a roller coaster of kind of scenarios in all those seven league games. So that's got to stand to us, you know. But we've got to make sure that does stand to us, Derek, really. Like, it's, you know, league is pointless and learnings are pointless unless you're going to put them into use, you know.
And on that, obviously, a Munster final would be a fabulous occasion and all the rest of it. But that word learnings, like, what a season it would be for Clare if you were able to, you know, play your Division 3 teams in the league and then in Championship, you're looking at the other echelon, we'll call it, of football in the country. Like, you'd have come across some amount of different styles, different learnings if you can manage to do that.
Oh, absolutely. And look, for the lads and for the group themselves, it'll be brilliant to get to back-to-back Munster finals, you know. And as you said, you get into Munster final, you're into the Sam Maguire, and obviously you're then playing opposition that are ahead of you in Division 2 and Division 1, you know. So that it's exciting, Derek. It's exciting for the lads. It's exciting for the group. It's exciting for the management team. But as we keep saying, you know, we've literally taken this whole year game by game, and that's no different now. And it's just dealing with Waterford, and you know, they're a different animal now than what they were before the Tipperary game. As you said yourself, the interviews, the goodwill feeling, the goodwill factor, that little bit of momentum they have, we just got to make sure that we look after ourselves, you know.
Paddy Carmody joins us now to look ahead to Saturday's game. And Paddy, I guess Clare have often had that plucky underdog tag in occasions like this. Waterford will be certainly buoyed up. Clare will still carry the favourites tag, though. Is that a new kind of a challenge, I'd imagine, for this team to deal with?
Yeah, very new, and for a lot of them it's the biggest game of their careers, really, isn't it? Their first big championship match, and they're going in as favourites, going down to a tricky venue against a team that's hard to quantify where they're at. So, yeah, it's going to be a huge test for our lads, huge test, and we've got to hope that they're ready for it.
And like that thing of having Waterford having played their championship game, does that maybe negate a little bit the difference perhaps between the two divisions in which they were operating in the league?
I think so. That's a very fair comment, Derek. I think the wider football public might look at this fixture and think it's just a matter of going down there and fulfilling the fixture. But I'm telling you, I'm already having butterflies in my stomach as a supporter only for this one. Like, Waterford were just pumped. They were so excited to get that win the last day. You saw a couple of the interviews afterwards. The fullback, Quivian Walsh, I don't know if you saw that interview with Off the Ball, but what a character. Really proud football men. They were so delighted for their footballing followers in Waterford. They've come under an awful lot of criticism in recent years, but my God, were they delighted with that win. You could tell with the body language of them, they knew they were in, like, they're in great territory now for a Waterford footballer to think that nobody's going to give them a chance and that they just have to turn over Clare to get into not just the Munster final, but Waterford in the Sam Maguire competition would really be a headliner.
It certainly would. I was just looking up some of the stats on this one, and there's history in the beckoning for both. 1960, the last time Waterford were in a provincial final. Clare haven't gone back-to-back in the final in almost 90 years, so it's a significant gap for both to bridge, although I'd imagine both sets of players anyway would have to try and put all that out of their heads for the 70-plus minutes.
Yeah, especially the Clare lads. Like, it's going to be very tricky for Clare going down. Okay, look at our last result, and that's what we have to go by. I know we had a good league campaign, but like, well and truly, we were well beaten by Down. It was 11 points, and it was a full 11 points. Like, we would create very few opportunities in that game. It was a plucky goal by Aaron. That could have been a lot worse. You know, we haven't played since then. We don't really know where we are with injuries, you know, but as I said, look at Waterford, they're bouncing now. You saw like those two goals, your man Tom O'Connell, their full forward, I don't know, did you see his celebrations when he scored those two goals against Waterford? He was like Maximus from Gladiator movie. Like, it's just one result is all they've had, and you could tell it's done them the power of good. They're going to be extremely confident, and if our lads aren't at it from the start, focused, you know, if they take any bit of this, any bit of complacency here at all, we're in for a long day. You know, and it's a tough one, as you said, for the Clare players. This is a lose situation, because if they go down and they win well, then the commentary is just going to be, well, they were expected to win well. It's just Waterford. Okay, if we just scrape over the line, people are going to be saying, oh, well, look, you know, where are we going? We're only just getting past Waterford. And then, you know, should they turn us over, well, then it's going to be, you know, huge headlines, negative on our guys, hard to recover from for next year. So it's really, really a horrible situation for a young, young team, new management team. And even the fixture itself, like, you know, it's a long way down there. It's an even kickoff. Just considering all the league kickoffs were all at 1 or 2 o'clock in the day. Again, all these little things matter, you know. So I think it's a huge test for our lads, and I, for one, am not taking Waterford for granted in any way, shape or form. You give me a 1 point win, or even penalties, Derek, you know I like penalties. Once we get out of there with any kind of a win, that's all I want.
And with all those factors thrown into the bowl, then, how much of a boost is it that both Killian Brennan and Dara Bohannon are likely to be on the field for the first time this year?
And it'll be a huge boost. Like Killian, he's one of the longest lasting leaders on that team. It's his first year as captain. He hasn't got on the grass yet. You know, he'll be a great boost around the place. Whether he goes into full back, maybe they put him out centre back, it's hard to know, because, like, would you move Ronan Anagan out of full back from after the league campaign he's had? He's been absolutely inspirational, I think. So a good headache for the lads. But you'd imagine with Dara's size coming in around the middle, he's had a lot of injuries the last couple of years. I think the two of them have to start. You know, there's no doubt they have to start. That will disrupt our team a little bit. But they've had a good break since the down game. You know, they've probably played a few challenge games, a lot of A's versus B's. And I'm sure Mark Fitzgerald and the lads know exactly, you know, what they're lining out with. And hopefully they have a couple of backup plans if that's not going well.
And just finally on that, like, I mean, all them things thrown into the bowl and all the rest of it, but still, here it is, you know, you're in control of your own destiny, which, you know, within a championship knockout game is kind of always the case, but that brings a different mindset in. You know that you can control where you go.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I know we're a young team, but we're still probably more experienced than the Waterford team. A lot of our players have been down, you know, the path of getting the Munster finals before, you know, like up until, you know, Tipperary beat us a few years back. You know, we lost to Limerick on penalties, but in the last 10 years under Cullum's reign, we really didn't get cut out by, you know, a struggling Tipperary, Limerick or Waterford much. So, you know, hopefully they draw on that experience, that they're not taking it lightly. You know, that they set the tempo, they get in front, they keep Waterford at arm's length and hopefully keep pushing away the score. So, you know, and the weather, they're saying the weather sounds good. That's what we want. I think we want a dry pitch, fast-moving game. And I think our conditioning, hopefully our more skillful forwards will get us over the line.
Yeah, just on that point to finish up on it, I think it's a good one, like, in terms of the start to the game, because as you mentioned, all the feel-good factor in Waterford, the bit of buzz that's there and all the rest of it, if you can go and attack that first quarter and kill the optimism, you know, and kill the momentum, is that something you think that'll be in the back of their heads?
Absolutely it will, and I think they'll draw on the Limerick game in the league this year in the second half when Limerick had the wind and we thought we had the game sewn up at half-time, and, you know, Limerick... It was all on the line for Limerick that night. You know, losing, they were gone. And Limerick came with a head of steam 2-3 times in that second half. And we managed to have 2 or 3 spells during that game. You know, we got a couple of scores out of them. We stopped their momentum. And it was a real, real mature response to a crisis, shall we say, in mid-game for our Clare football team. So I'd be hoping that they can do that. But, you know, I still... I still, when I'm thinking about this game, if I was a Waterford player, to think that I'm only an hour away, that I have to beat an unproven Clare team to get to Munster final and get into the Sam Maguire, the prize is huge here for Waterford. Massive. Like, this, like, make no mistakes about it. If Waterford get over the line here, it's going to be publicity everywhere. And unfortunately, if that is the case, our lads have to face up to it and they have to listen to it. You know, but hopefully optimistic that we can, you know, be mature enough, strong enough, fast enough, got enough forwards to do the job, and that we do get out of there with a narrow win on Saturday evening. You know, anything better than that is a bonus, but I'd take a narrow win.
Paddy, thanks for that commentary of the game here on Clare FM, live from Fraher Field tomorrow evening from 6 o'clock. Hurling is next here on Sideline View. Now, and you are very welcome back. Well, Sunday we'll see 20,100 people descending on Cusack Park to witness the clash of the National Hurling League champions and the All-Ireland champions as Clare and Limerick write the latest chapter in what is a fascinating rivalry. Teams named this morning, with Tony Kelly back in the match day 26 and the starting Clare team unchanged from that league final win over Kilkenny. We'll talk more about that shortly, but first let's hear from former Clare captain Pat O'Connor, who has been looking ahead to this one.
First time in a long time to be able to avoid each other in the league anyway, and to my eye anyway, both camps kind of took a kind of a different enough approach to the league, in that Brian and the players have set out their stall and they wanted to win every game. And you know, I got to sense that Limerick, you know, they were very much in kind of exploratory mode, trying to flesh out the panelling and add to what is already obviously a quality offer. But we're looking for a couple of more players and looking for more game time for players coming back from injuries and that. Looked to me like a different enough approach from both camps, but you know, Shane O'Donnell saying it's the last day, and it was never a true word spoken. I think it has to be brought into the thinking with the Clare public in this team, is that there is a significant gear change when between league and championship, and they know any display they saw in the league, even the final, like it will not do in championship. They have to go and find something new, and that's what the boys will be looking for about the week on and the week coming.
Yeah, there was that real sense, I have to say, the night in Thurles. Obviously, there's the bit of elation at the full-time whistle, but I never saw that particular period to last as little as it did. You know, by the time Conor Cleary had got over to get the cup, it was almost a sobering thing of, okay, we have this, but we know what's ahead.
Yeah, and I think that's a reflection of the I suppose the group that's there now, like they're seasoned, hardened players that have seen lean days and tough days, and they know where they stand in the scheme of things. They've been around the block enough times, and I think the players, I think, did a good job themselves, shown by body language and both by what they say, by what Cleary speech, like that they were very adamant that brilliant to get a trophy, brilliant to get a national trophy, but kind of that's where it finished, and line drawn. And I'm sure the last couple of weeks, or the week on and the week coming, there'll be a taste of championship around the camp, and it is, you know, let me tell you, like, it is something different.
Yeah, and it seemed to be as well that management almost decided, lads, have your hour or two out on the pitch there afterwards, sign the hurleys, sign the jerseys, talk to the likes of us, but then once that dressing room door closes, this is conclave stuff from now until then.
Yeah. And look, at between Brian and the player, the kind of senior player group that's there, I don't think you could be leaning on a more experienced or more genuine bunch to sit out the stall, and the rest of the lads will follow. And I wouldn't be one bit worried about any guy getting carried away with themselves or being you know, satisfied with a league medal. This group and this management teams are their eyes are on something that's coming a little bit further down the line.
You mentioned there the whole thing of the performance going up again the next day, and obviously Limerick being kind of more exploratory, but is there an argument to be made that Clare managed to actually marry both objectives, being exploratory in finding new players while also going out and saying we're going to win every game?
Yeah, I think they did. I think they absolutely did. You know, exploratory, you know, they went and I suppose they, you know, when you're naming the Clare team, like, all things being equal, there isn't an awful lot of places up for grabs. But you know, where there is a couple of positions that there's ferocious competition for, like, and you know, in between, like, Ryan Taylor and Tony being injured and looking for alternatives there, you know, Davy Mack and Sods and those guys being kind of filtered back in the last day. And then you have to look at, like, what Conor Lean brought to his game, to the team, all campaign, joint brilliant campaign. Darragh Lohan looks like a new player to me. Like, he looks like a fantastic player. You know, has developed an awful lot, both physically and with his game as well. And you know, there's a couple of guys coming in after being in there. They're all making impacts. So look, I'd imagine it's a difficult thing to go sit down and pick the 15, and sit down and pick the 26 would be another difficult thing. And that's an excellent place to be, like, because. So the group kind of looks after itself then, in the sense that there it's kind of almost you know, there's ferocious competition for place, and that's when you see guys not being able to take a night off or not being able to take the foot off the throttle. You know, it's every train will be fierce, enjoyable, in the sense that there's something to play for, and you can see Brian has fostered that. Like, that doesn't happen just naturally. Brian, if you're performing in training, Brian will give you a chance, and guys are seeing that and adapting to that and training accordingly, which is, you know, leaves the panel in a great place.
From a defensive perspective, you spent long enough there. Is this the strongest selection we have available from a defensive point of view in the last couple of years?
I think so, yeah. Look, but individually, you're seeing guys at the top of the game. But I think when you're talking about a defence, it has to be as a unit. And I think as a unit, they're playing really, really well together. Like, they've, you know, they all have their roles down to a T. And then you have the bit of flair. Then, like, the likes of Dermot Ryan, you know, can go up the field. And he's kind of almost becoming, to me, like, you know, possibly what Bogues was, or go back another couple of years, Anthony Daly, the way that he can, he's a real crowd favourite, and you know, a couple of big plays from him can really raise the crowd. And then you have the likes of Adam Hogan in the corner, then he's taken on that kind of really tigerish inside defender role, and the crowd responded to him too. And you know, it is brilliant to see, because yeah, like what you said, defences are under so much pressure nowadays. I mean, the full back line now can be an island completely cut off from the rest of the team, always, because there's so much space in there. But the guys are playing with huge confidence and huge belief, and it's excellent to see.
I think one of the battles I'm looking forward to most is the Clare half forward line against that Limerick half back line. If you have Fitzy, Rogers and Peter lining up against Morrissey, Hannon and whoever else will be there, like, that is going to be complete Titanic stuff.
Twilia, and the guys are, you know, Peter and Fitzy, like, they're, sometimes you'd see guys of their stature, they don't play like guys of their stature to be, and they mightn't use it as much, but those guys really use it, like, they really throw their weight around, and I think they're, like, while Peter mightn't be having the scoring returned that maybe he once had, but he's performing such an incredible role for the team. Like, he's, and it's, to my eye, like, he's an insatiable appetite for work, and you know, you see him chasing lost causes there. He might even have a hurl at times, like, and that's kind of stuff that a forward line can then just really get up on the back of and follow, because he's you know, he's just thrown himself into all sorts of situations for the team, and you know, it's excellent to see. And the likes of Fitzy and Rogers, then their scoring return has been amazing. Like, everyone can see. I don't need to tell everyone the player that Fitzy has turned into. He's you know, he's really, really turned in on the potential that everyone could see he has, and it is brilliant to see at the moment. Like, he's a player just utmost confidence, and a real leader in the team. And Mark Rogers, and of course, everyone knows the quality he is. He'll find, he's an excellent player to find a yard of space and convert it in, and a brilliant player to bring others into the play as well, which is, you know, something that surprised me in kind of his role out in the half forward line. He's an excellent link player, whereas when he was inside, we kind of associated him with, you know, kind of a deadly finisher and kind of a Conor McGrath-esque kind of brilliant, like, a score getter and a score taker. But I think he's shown a new lease of life now that he's out in the half forward line.
Yeah, I was just watching an interview there with one of your former teammates, Colm Galvin, and he was kind of suggesting that he felt for the first time in a while that Limerick looked a little bit vulnerable defensively. How do you rate them? Or are they coming in, and you know better than anybody how the likes of Paul Kinnaird now will have used these last couple of weeks. How are they coming into this, do you think?
To be perfectly honest with you, I don't see that myself. I think if you look at Limerick last year, they had a semi-final and a final of a league and then two Munster Championship games. And I thought they took that as a block and then took a break and then went at it again and struggled to find form when they went back at it again then until they kind of got out of Munster into Croke Park. And I think it's like, I couldn't speak highly enough of Paul Kinnaird, but they obviously shaved it very tight when coming out of Munster last year, and he'd have been very uncomfortable with that. So I think it's a time issue. They looked very leggy against Kilkenny, but I think that's a reflection of the work that they were doing. I think that their time and their run just a little bit differently this time. I could be wrong, but that's my view on it. I think that they'll be, while they mightn't see the absolute slick machine in the park the next day, but I think they'll be fine. They'll reach their top gear in the next couple of weeks, and I think we'll see it. But they did look leggy against Kilkenny, but I do think it's a reflection of where they are in their training and their preparation, and a lot of players coming back in, and with John Kiely, like, he's just panelled so many players, and you see him there, he has to leave out a player, not because of injury, not because of anything, just for the sake of giving a guy a chance that is, chomping at the bit on the sideline, and can lead to kind of a panel, a team not playing with the flow maybe that they should do. But I think their championship team now will be, I think they'll really hit the ground running now, and they'll be looking for a strong campaign, because look at their history on the line. They'll park everything just to get that 5 in a row. I'm sure they will, and it is, from their perspective, it couldn't be starting in a more difficult spot than Clare and Innes.
Yeah, but like, is there a small bit of, he's kind of got lost, I think, a little bit in the build-up to it, that Peter Casey is suspended. And obviously we know about the Darragh Donovan injury. So, okay, you've options up front, obviously, with Adam English and Cathal O'Neill or Dunica O'Dolig, who had a fantastic league campaign. But around that middle third then, with O'Donovan being out, it is going to take a small bit of restructuring.
It will, yeah, it will. But fairness, I would have said, kind of 18, 19, 20, they were very lucky with injuries. Like, they were picking off a relatively small squad. But after that, you have to say that they've been missing crucial players for crucial games, and they've found a way. And I think they have all the tools and all the experience and all the confidence in themselves to do the same the next day. Because look, they were without Peter Casey for a year with a crucial, and still found a way. It is a case of how many more times they can go to the well, but I think they will just absolutely skin themselves alive to get this 5 in a row.
And I suppose neither team is going to talk about this, but maybe we can from a kind of an outside perspective. But like, the winner on Sunday will probably be a little bit less pressured going into their second game. Obviously, we have to go to Cork, but then Limerick take on what would be a fresh tip team. And, there's one thing Limerick won't be after coming out of Innes, and that's rested anyway. So, there's that little element as well. While you can't, obviously, only the two teams can only think about each other, but I'd say in the back of the management's minds, they're saying this is big for a number of reasons.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And that was one thing I saw with the introduction of this the round robin series, that you have so much other things in your mind. I mean, you previous years you've got a chance tunnel vision this game, and we have kind of three or four, even 5 weeks off after that, and come what may type thing. But if your guy is borderline with an injury, if a guy is, has a hamstring twinge or something, you just can't risk him. So you always have that eye towards the next game and what it might look like, and how it might shape up, and where are we going, and then we're analysing the team that you're playing. So that'll all be in their mind. But yourself, once the ball is thrown in now on Sunday, it'll be anarchy for the 70 or so minutes that the game is on. And very little else will matter for that period of time. But you know, it's absolutely mammoth task to come out of to Munster, and Clare have done an excellent job over the last couple of years of the absolute, you know, they've been top team and top 1-2 team in Munster for the last couple of years, and we're all just hoping to stay very same now this campaign.
And just finally, Pat, rather than asking for a prediction, maybe give us an area that you think could be the winning and losing of this game, or a particular aspect.
I think the aggression and the kind of just in-your-face approach that Clare have taken over the last couple of years to Limerick has really put them back on their heels and has disrupted them. And I think if we can get to the pitch of us early doors the next day, we were talking off air there about the weather, you hope this isn't spoiled by an awful breezy day or a very wet day or something like that. You know, you're hoping that you're number one, you get the conditions for the game, but that they could go out and kind of apply the same pressure all around the field. And, you know, I think the matchups have been so important the last time, you know, like, or for the last couple of years. Like, I think Fitzy is a great match against Kyle Hayes because he kind of puts him on the back foot and puts him under pressure. You know, we all used to Kyle Hayes kind of sauntering up the field and getting a couple of scores. As I spoke, Ryan Taylor had always had delays to kind of get through a couple of tackles and break the line when it comes to William O'Donoghue and Darragh O'Donovan. Can Darragh Owen do the same? Can, you know, you know what's going to get off Colm Malone? Like, he'll always give you that work rate every single day. Yeah, I think those couple of areas, if we can get to the pitch, but you're always, you know, if you can keep the free count down and keep the concessional goals to one or two goals in the game, you'll give yourself a chance, because we will get enough scores. You know, Aidan McCarthy is lethal on the frees. I think, look, it's going to be very, very, very fine margins. If to remember last year in the Gaelic ground, Shannara came on and made a huge difference. He looked to me like a guy the last day who was coming bang into form, but really fresh, really, really hungry for work. If he could do the same, come in and you make a huge impact, that could be the winner of the game.
The thoughts there of former Clare captain Pat O'Connor. At the recent launch of the Munster Championships, Clare FM's Derek Dormer had the chance to speak with Limerick boss John Kiley about what they're expecting on Sunday.
Every time we meet Clare, we have fantastic battles with each other, and there's huge regard and respect there from us towards the Clare team. They're fantastic sides, some incredible hurlers there, fantastic athletes in there, and great sportsmen as well. So we know that that's going to be a real challenge for us, and at the same time, it's one that I'm looking forward to and have been looking forward to for a number of months now. So yeah, it's within the compass, I suppose, at this stage. Now you can see it coming over the horizon, and we're still in preparation mode at the moment and concluding the National Hurling League. You know, we know that fixture is coming around the corner, and we're very much looking forward to it.
You've summed up some battles over the last couple of years, the 2 months finals, but even the drawn one that went to extra time, they've been epic, physical, enthralling encounters that the whole country have got to admire the gift of hurling. And to be involved on the line on those occasions, that must give you, as a hurling man, pleasure.
Ah, sure, listen, they're moments to treasure, like, you know, and it's a great privilege to be in a position to be a part of those, you know, incredible occasions, be it Munster final or championship round robin match. They've all been special moments in their own right, but I think ultimately when you're there, you're just trying to do your job the best you can and be the best, you know, support to the players on the field and help them to make the best performance that they can pull together on the day. So that's my job on the day, and, you know, I look forward to hopefully delivering on that again for the boys again this year.
And both of yourself and Brian Owen, both of you seem to bolster your squads this year, introduce new talent. I know from my time in Limerick, Adam English is such a huge gifted hurler, Carl O'Neill coming in, Young O'Dalig. I mean, you have a whole riches of talent at your disposal. I mean, it's a headache you want as a manager, isn't it?
Yeah, listen, there is thankfully some fantastic talent there that's coming through. I think we've been very patient in terms of, you know, trying to choose the moments when these guys get exposed to the team, and you can see the growth in them as athletes and as hurlers, as young men, you know, throughout the last couple of years. And, you know, we've been looking forward to seeing them blossom, if you like. And now we can see that happening in front of our eyes, which is fantastic. I think it's great that there's going to be new names from all the counties, you know, in the public realm, if you like, of hurling for 2024. And the game needs new faces, new blood, fresh blood, and for youngsters, new role models and stars that they can try and emulate to motivate the next generation again.
And isn't it great that they play together with, in our school, Reach, you know, Flannans, UL, in the Fitzgibbon, and then can go out and, you know, and cut the heads off each other. Yeah. Let's call a spade a spade. Yeah. Leave it on the field and be hurling together again the following week. Absolutely. It's the beauty of the GA.
Some of them are living together and, you know, obviously went to school together, went to college together, played Fitzgibbon with UL, Mary Eye, a couple of other colleges as well. So it is fantastic. And I hope that, listen, down the road, they'll have great memories of their times hurling, you know, whether it be with their colleges, schools, or with their counties. And isn't that really what it's all about, that they'll have a great, you know, back catalogue of moments that they can look back on and say, just weren't they great days.
And finally, John, look, I know it's the drive for five and everyone's building it up, but I know it's a cliche, but it has to be in this real cutthroat Munster Championship. It has to be a one match at a time approach, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It always is. It always has been. That's the way it always will be for us. You can't look beyond the game that you have in front of you. If you do, you're just going to fail. So we're not in to fail. So we'll definitely be keeping our eyes very, very much focused on the task at hand each week as we go along.
That is Limerick manager John Coyley there speaking to Clare FM's Derek Dormer. Much more to come. Do stay tuned. Now, there are the views of both John Coyley and Pat O'Connor ahead of Sunday's game in Cusick Park. Both of those speaking well before the teams were named this morning. Delighted to say that to get the view from Shannon's side, we've gone to the dark side of the river to journalist Thomas Clancy to have a little chat. Thomas, we'll have a quick chat first, I guess, about the Limerick team. Your thoughts on it? A lot of big talking points in it, positionally and personnel-wise.
Yeah, there definitely is, Derek. And good evening to you and your listeners. Maybe no standout names in regards that it is the familiar 15 names. We've seen these guys win so much now down the last few years. But the positionally, rightly, as you say, and just looking at the team here as it is laid out now, and obviously we know that there could be plenty of upheaval by the time Sunday afternoon comes around. But even to see Kyle Hayes listed at seven, he's only played one league game this year. You know, didn't have a long club championship with Kildare and Palaskinry, so has, you know, really lacking match sharpness on the competitive end of things. And obviously Cian Lynch listed a corner forward, and I think his debut way back whenever that was a corner forward against Clare. So whether he'll line out there or not, I would speculate he will not. He'll probably be, as we know now, Limerick play with two in the inside line, and he's more likely to be further out the field. But I suppose food for thought there for Clare. But no surprises with Cathal O'Neill included. No surprises with, you know, Mike Casey, Dan Morrissey and Barry Nash in the full-back line in what is a line that had given a bit of trouble for Limerick in the league, obviously conceding three goals to Tipperary and subsequently the same against Tipperary. Very uncharacteristic Limerick. So back to the tried and trusted. And, you know, maybe the only man that, looking at the bench, that I feel might feel a little bit aggrieved if he doesn't find his way in the start is Dunico O'Dalic, but his lack of championship minutes in the fact that he has none will suggest that, you know, such as the ferocity expected in this game, that maybe he'd be best off served coming into this game fresh for the last 10 or 15 minutes.
Has he lost out almost to a tactical decision, though? Because I think a lot of the talk now is that if Lynch is playing that 15, that Peter Casey role that you nearly put in inverted commas now, like that might then force Clare's hand to set up in a way that they haven't been overly comfortable with before. Maybe Kinnerk and Coyley are looking back at the All-Ireland semi-final and saying, if we force Clare to maybe adopt a plus one back there, they may not be overly familiar with it. It might just give us a little chink of light in which to do a bit of damage.
Yeah, definitely. And there was one theory I had this morning when I saw the team. Evidently, maybe Kyle Hayes could revert to the forwards. Cathal O'Neill could go to wing back, and Cian Lynch could occupy the midfield spot. But yeah, I think you know, Kirk and Kinnerk and Coyley they've done this before in terms of maybe a couple of strange, or not strange, but a couple of different moves. In round one 2 years ago against Cork, which was the Easter weekend in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. The team that was named didn't line out as it was. Kyle Hayes was listed at seven, eventually played in the forwards and kind of bamboozled Cork. But look, I'd say Cian Lynch will be in around the half-hour line. I don't really see him staying inside. Obviously, you mentioned Peter Casey, and a reminder to everyone that he's suspended. So, yeah, it forced his hand. And look, maybe Donegal Dáileg isn't ready for Championship hurling. I've been a big fan of his in the league. But as we know, the league and the Championship are two different beasts. So, look, he might have lost out in terms of tactically. But, you know, there's a possibility that Limerick don't view him as ready to come in from the start. And maybe that's a bit harsh to say, but, you know, he's relatively rookie on the panel relative to what you see here in terms of the experience that Lynch has amassed. And you know, and even the likes of Carl O'Neill has, you know, is his fourth, fifth season now on the panel. And as John Kiley said in one post-match, you know, it's a marathon for these new guys, and O'Dolig is only, as Kylie said, he's only on mile 9 of the marathon at a water station. He's a lot to learn in terms of being ready for Championship hurling. And as we know, Ennis is no easy place for anyone to go, especially someone who, in his case, will be lining out for their Championship debut. So look, I think the Lynch one, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Do Limerick go even for the first 5 or 10 minutes? Do they go with three inside? And see what Clare do from there, or did they just revert to what they're so used to in terms of two and kind of effectively four in the half hour line? So I'd be interested to see how that one lines up come throwing at 2 p.m. Sunday.
Yeah, I think everyone's looking forward to throwing, because even here from a Clare perspective, big news this morning was that Tony Kelly wears 26, which is hugely welcome, but then Shane O'Donnell is listed at 22 and David McInerney at 20, so we're expecting at least one, if not two, changes to that starting lineup. So I think both teams are going to be holding their cards quite close to their chest. But you mentioned there the benches, and whether or not this is the Clare team that'll start, the same team to start the league final, or whether we see those changes. Like, if you're dropping Ian Galvin, Cian Galvin, and maybe one more to the bench, you're not exactly weakening what'll be able to come on then. So, like, we know it down the years, trying to separate these two, it's cigarette paper stuff. Could the benches be the difference? Are Clare slightly more stacked there than they would have been in recent years?
Yeah, I think they are, and I think the fact that you'll have, I think Tony Kelly will start on the bench, and that's just my own hunch. And look, your guess is as good as mine on that one. And I just think the fact he's no hurling done, that more than likely we're going to see him from the 58th minute onwards at some point, as, you know, a finisher, as the, that kind of popular phrase has come in. And what an asset to have to bring in. I mean, like, you know, even from the psychological point of view, you know, your best hurler over the last decade, one of Clare's greatest ever, in fairness to him, coming in for 15 minutes, if he has that in the tank, if he has that energy and that quality that he brings. And even if you look at Shane O'Donnell, didn't play a league game, brought in, I think, wasn't it at half time in the final, and really was able to hit the pace of it straight away. And if Tony can do that, what a lift it'll be for those supporting Clare in Ennis on Sunday. That, you know, psychologically a great boost, you know. If they're a couple of points up, he'll try and drive them for home. If they're a couple of points down, which invariably they'll be in the mix, and what an asset to bring him over the line. But from a Limerick point of view, looking at the bench, like Graham Mulcahy, in terms of, you know, game changers, Graham Mulcahy, the obvious one in terms of you know, Limerick's record appearance holder with 63 Championship appearances. But beyond that, experience is in terms of attacking option probably lies on Conor Boylan. You know, looking down through it, Adam English is maybe only made, I think it's the 3 Championship appearances in terms of forwards. Donegal Dáileg, as I mentioned, has yet to make his bout. And as to as Ballybrown's Aidan O'Connor, yet to experience it at this level. So for once, I think Limerick's bench maybe has been overstated, and maybe Clare hold it there. But you just don't know what changes will be made to either side. But I don't think Limerick's bench is as deep as they would like in terms of especially experience and maybe even form, you know. But yeah, the benches have held the key in a lot of games down the years, and I can't see why Sunday should be any different.
What's the general feeling in Limerick on this, coming into a Championship game off the back of a disappointing defeat but having had the time to do it, but at the same time, no Dara O'Donovan, no Peter Casey, brilliant players to come in, obviously, but the system now needs to be tweaked a little bit. And is Ennis the place you want to stress test it for the first 20 minutes in that white heat?
No, I don't think so. And especially with the confidence that Clare rightly should have, having gone through the league unbeaten and obviously won it out, No, it's not the venue that you need to be making sure that our lads are up to the pitch of it. And look, we saw such limited time for Declan Hannan, Aaron Gillan and Cian Lynch in the league, and the three of them actually pulled aside early in the semi-final. So you kind of touched there on the mood around Shannon. It's funny how a couple of results quickly changed the narrative. Like if Limerick were squeezed out of it in the last round of the league group format against Galway, I don't think people would have been too put out. They played most of that game with 14 men. But the manner in the defeat against Kilkenny, coupled with Clare's obvious upward trajectory, has certainly, speaking to supporters from all quarters of the county, as you know, Derek, I get out to a lot of underage games, and this has been a big topic of conversation for the last, 4 weeks, but probably 4 months now at this stage. There's certainly a bit of a bit of worry in the Limerick supporters, and we haven't seen that for some time now. Whether that seeps into the players or not, I wouldn't think so. But you know, I think Limerick are rightfully, as supporters, certainly given Clare the respect that they deserve. And yeah, I'd be very interested to see where the form of many of this 15 is at. I mean, as I said, Kyle Hayes has played one competitive game of hurling in the entirety of 2024, and you know, didn't play much in the last quarter of 2023 either. And I mentioned some of the other guys there who've had, you know, been fits and starts in the league and only bits and pieces. But look, I suppose Limerick experience of prepping teams for championship, the management team is there for so long. Carbara O'Carolan, the strength and conditioning coach, you know, those conversations would have been long and deep in terms of how do we get these guys ready. So I'd be excited, especially for the first 10 or 15 minutes, to see who's at the pitch of it for both sides. And look, Limerick are no mugs. They've obviously won four in a row for a reason. So you'd like to think that they'll be able to get up to the pace of it very, very quickly.
Yeah, and I think it seems like the kind of game where the pace will be on from the off. Like it could, I'm not saying maybe Munster final 2 years ago, that first 90 seconds or whatever that John Keenan just let go, but there's such an, I think with such a talk about this game now that people are expecting the Munster Hurling Championship to go off with almost an atomic bang. There's been such a build up, and a lot of people are afraid, Jesus, will it be the game we expect it to be? Can it? I don't see any scenario in which this game falls flat like.
No, certainly doesn't. And even if you took it that if Clare were to maybe not run away with it, but be ahead, you know, maybe 5 or 6 points for that of the game, that in itself is, you know, an exciting start to the championship. Obviously, it's not one I envisage or want to see happening. But you know, if Clare continue their upward trajectory, as I said, you know, that in itself should be rip roaring. I mean, obviously, sometimes games can fall flat for patches, but the way these two teams match up. The way the supporters interact with each other, I can't see anything but thrilling minute stuff really for 70 odd minutes. And look, the Limerick Clare rivalry, where you and I, Derek, are on Twitter and other platforms, and people are trying to wind each other up, but I think it's a great rivalry. The office where I work on a 9-to-5 basis, there's I think equally split 3 and 3 currently where I am, 3 Clare and 3 Limerick. And We do have respect for each other. We've for so long looked at the big three, as it were, collecting all these titles. And I don't think a lot of Limerick people have gotten too far ahead of themselves to know that, you know, we can't dismiss Clare and we can't walk all over Clare. And we haven't been able to do so in the last few years in particular. So I expect an absolute, hopefully a classic that Limerick can shade. But I expect a ferocious game of hurling, and I think the energy in the crowd will feed into that, and you know, as we know, those two things feed off each other. So if the game is good, the crowd will be strong, and if the crowd is strong, hopefully the game will be strong too. So really, really looking forward to it.
Finally, not predictions, because I think they're kind of pointless when there's a bias involved. I'm going to say Clare, you're going to say Limerick, but what I will ask you is what might swing it? Where do you see that little fine margin being that might bring it Limerick's way if they were to win?
Just again, looking back at the team, I think the fact that, you know, the whole issue of the league, Limerick didn't get next nor near this 15, would suggest, and they were still quite good in patches. And obviously, you know, the last time we saw them, they weren't near their best. I just think that bit of a break, maybe that bit of a reset, that bit of kind of under the radar, will play into Limerick's favour. There's maybe this time last year, as John Kiley said, the softening up by other counties, that Limerick were going to waltz their way to the four in a row, and obviously they'd got there, but Jesus, it was far from a waltz. It was a real tiptoe, you know, a lot of landmines on the way, as it were. I think, looking at the team, I think if Limerick's you know, key men, and there are plenty of them. But I think if Keane Lynch has a real positive impact on this game, if Aaron Gillan is maybe close to, if not at, the form he was at last year, they will be the game winners. And you know, the fact that Kyle Hayes is listed to start, and assuming he does start, I think it's a fair sign. It's a fair sign from Kylie that he's trusted these guys for 5 or 6 years. They haven't seen the best of them so far in 2024. But obviously, whatever has gone on in training, is feeding into it that these guys are ready to rock and roll. Because if they weren't, I don't think there's room for sentiment in this Limerick camp. They wouldn't be including them from the start if they weren't. You know, looking at Sean Finn there, he obviously hasn't done enough to be included. That's why he's on the bench, and I think it will be the same across the board. So I suppose we're putting our trust here in Limerick on John Kiley and co. that the 15 named, or the 15 that will start, are really going to be up for it and really are going to be ready. But look, I don't think either of these teams will be overly worried if they're defeated by a point at the weekend. Obviously, the 2 points will be huge, but beyond Sunday, I think both of these sides will have enough to get out of Munster. And look, we would love it and love another renewal at the Gaelic Crowns for a Munster final, but maybe that's not possible this year, Derek. But we'd love another renewal with Clare later in the year, despite what everyone else thinks. I can't wait for Sunday, and I'm looking forward to meeting you and the rest of the Clare contingent on Sunday afternoon.
We'll make sure the red carpet is hoovered. Tom Clancy, thanks for that.
Many thanks, Derek. We'll talk to you soon.
Before we go, Alan Troy is joining us for Greyhound Focus. Alan.
Good evening and welcome to this week's Greyhound Focus. Commencing with the action from Limerick Greyhound Stadium, a massive attendance is anticipated on Saturday night next for the final of the Con and Ann Kirby Memorial Final, which carries a winner's purse of 80,000. This is kindly sponsored by JP and Ori McManus, and there will be an added attraction on the night as last Saturday's Aintree Grand National winner, I Am Maximus, will be paraded on the night prior to the final. Last Saturday evening proved to be a memorable occasion for Liscanners Declan and Terry McDonough, as they recorded a training double with Hanover Phantom and Hanover Sky, who are both owned by Galway native Leanne Fleming. Both dogs are bred by Slippery Robert and Beast Lodore and are from different litters. Phantom recorded his 9th career success in 29.73 over the 550 yards trip, and Sky recorded career win number 3 in 28.69. Yesterday's afternoon meeting at Limerick proved to be a fruitful one for Tullas Donie Duggan when he recorded a treble. Droney Said No was to the fore in the opening race for the 29.47 victory. Owned by the Kildicert Cranny based Don't Tell Petticoat Government Syndicate, she is a daughter of Droopy Sidney and Estimate. Four Fitz Corra notched his 3rd career win in a 29.06 effort. He is owned by Shannon's Timothy Keane and is the son of Malachy and Darren Dott, and the treble was completed when the ever-consistent Amy's Jack recorded his 13th career win in 29.91. Owned by Shannon's Peter Russell, he's the son of Skywalker Rafa and No Time to Talk. And now to the action from Galway Greyhound Stadium. On Saturday night last, the concluding A3 Slána Bhaile 5-5 yards contest went to April Rain for Innes Diamonds' Tom Flanagan, and jointly owned by young Robert Shanahan. And the winning time was 29.15, and this was career win number 10 for this daughter of Romeo recruit and Trimling Julius. Curraclare referee Joe Kelly was in the winner's enclosure with Eve the Apple. A daughter of Burgess Bucks and Croker's Wish, she notched career win number 3 in 29.58, and she's trained by 6 Mile Bridges' Stephen Murray. Friday night's Galway card featured 3 second round heats of the Anne Cheever's A4 5-5 yard stake, and in the opening heat it went to Brickhill Fela for Kilmehel native John Collins in 29.04, and the third heat was taken by Fast Fit Penny for Gort's John Quinn. In an A3 graded contest, Knockanora Kate ran on impressively to take the honours in 29.28. Owned by Clooney's Martin Williams, she is named after his granddaughter Kate Quinlan and is trained by Stephen Murray. She is a daughter of Burgess Bucks and Croker's Wish and is a litter sister of the aforementioned Eve the Apple. The Donie Duggan of Tulla owned Doug Ishgalad recorded his 3rd career win in 18.67 over the 325 yard strip. He is the son of Bally Macbest and Believer. And from last night's racing in Galway, Alton Dana came up trumps for Ballyalla's Pat Hogan in 29.90. This was a first career win for this daughter of Ballymac Anton and Springwell Pearl. And there was further success for Stephen Murray when Jaden's Lady triumphed in 29.32 to make it 2 wins on the bounce for this daughter of Burgess Bucks and Croker's Wish. She is owned by the Little Man Syndicate. That's all for this week, folks. Slán agus beannacht.
Alan, thanks very much indeed for that. That's where we have to leave it for this week's show. Huge weekend ahead, so do get your rest. It's going to be a hectic one.